Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 71. If you're listening on drop day, it is May 9th. Episode 71. Sox got a 71 right now. It's Cam Boozer, who was one of the bright spots, if you could say there's a bright spot in this series. He threw a pretty good inning in the second game. This is the official podcast of New Looks. That's right. If you're watching on YouTube, Sammy, you look like that. You look like the comedian from... that was at the Brady roast that had the really weird hairstyle and the mustache, but you don't have quite. Yeah, that guy. But you don't have like the side hair thing that he's got, but that's kind of what you look like with your hair like that and the mustache.
He's got an undercut, like a really, really strong undercut. And I'm pretty sure he's like half Italian. So he's got dark hair and it really pops, where mine is like lighter color. I was telling you off air, I think I look like a younger version of the newspaper editor from Spider-Man who really wants photos of Spider-Man.
And I was telling you that I was going to try to start looking that up. And then I realized that is a really specific version of a specific character that I feel like I'm not going to be able to find a picture of, but I believe you.
Oh, thank you.
This is also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we continue, talk about the series with the Braves in which the Sox drop both games. Hit that subscribe button. Whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app, hit the subscribe button, rate us 5 stars. It helps us a lot. Leave a comment. Tell us how you're feeling about your, I believe, 19 and 18 Red Sox. Correct me if I'm wrong. 19 and 18 and in third place. If you're watch on YouTube, we're on the WEI page. We've got our own playlist there. Hit that thumbs up button there and leave us a comment there as well. Also, remember to follow us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram, where we continue to drop lots of awesome content, both from these podcasts, but also videos of us interviewing Red Sox players of today, the Red Sox players of tomorrow. It's been really good stuff. You were missing out if you're not following us there. Just me and Sammy today. Pat's still doing some graduation stuff. Pat's been on a bender. He's been on a bender.
Graduation stuff. Pat's out having a nice night. So we let him do his thing.
I mean, if you've graduated college, you know what graduation stuff entails. Pat's having the time of his life, but he will soon be back in Massachusetts with the rest of us watching this beautiful team we've got here. Sox drop both these games. I mean, we didn't talk about this beforehand. I mean, we could do this however you want. I don't know if you want to go through the games or if you want to just like talk about this team right now. Cause like we could do a little bit of both. Because I feel like these games kind of encapsulated a little bit of what this team has been this year. The overall offensive numbers, if you look at just the total runs scored or the total team OPS, it looks okay. But the Red Sox have lost five out of their last six games, and in each of those five losses, they have scored two or fewer runs. That is how they've lost a lot of games this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough all year long without Casas. And you were expecting Trevor Story, so I'm not loving the offense right now. It's nice to see Abreu had stepped up, didn't have a good series. Duran has been solid this year, up and down a little bit. But I just don't think this is the scariest offense in the world right now, especially when you're going up against Lopez and Chris Sale, who, I don't know, you want to go over the games real quick? I've got some not so nice numbers about the Red Sox offense, if you want to.
Yeah, give me all of your numbers, man.
All right, all so game one. This is from our good friend, downtown Ian Brown. Red Sox went, brace yourself, 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position, and they left 13 men on base. And that was also with Atlanta.
Is this the series or just
game one?
Okay. You want to hear this? It sounds even worse when you go inning by inning. I wrote it down inning by inning.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is like nails on a chalkboard for everyone. Yeah. Keep going.
I mean, the thing is, like, the Celtics were on at the same time. So if you were only half watching, you probably didn't feel the same agony that you would have if you were watching just straight on. The first inning, they left two on base. Second inning, they left two on base. Third inning, they left one on base. Fourth inning, they left one on base. Fifth inning, Duran tripled with one out. They left him on base, and that's with Devers and O'Neill hitting. Sixth inning, they scored two to tie it, so it's 2-2, but they had bases loaded with one out and a chance to take a big lead. Duran and Devers both strike out, so you leave those bases loaded. Seventh inning, two more guys on base, they left. Eighth inning, Duvall had a great catch to rob a two-run double. They left two on base in that eighth inning. The ninth inning was the only inning in which they didn't leave anyone on base, and it's because Raisel Iglesias just shoved it down their throats.
And you know what makes it worse is you're facing a guy with a 1.5 ERA. He's a monster, and you had a bunch of opportunities to score off of him, and you didn't. So it just makes it hurt that much more painful. And then, I mean, you want me to jump into the ugly game two stats? I got some for game two as well.
Yes, just the last comment on the runners left on base stuff. One thing that I've noticed, and this
coming. Don't worry.
Good. I'm glad because we could talk about it forever. But one thing I've noticed, and this is not just in this series, this is dating back. We saw this a bunch in the Twin series. It's been going back further than just these last two series, but it's really been highlighted in the Twins and the Braves series, is that you're getting guys on base and it's like the meat of your order that's up and isn't coming through. It's a lot of Devers, a lot of O'Neill, a lot of Duran. Even though Duran's been a lot better lately, when he's come up in those spots, he hasn't gotten it done. So it's just a lot of the guys you need to see come through, especially like you say, Casas is down, Story's down. So when those guys are down, you really rely on a guy like Devers to step it up. And even though the numbers are there for some of these guys in these spots, they just haven't been coming through and it feels contagious. Right.
Painful situations compounded by the personnel making the moves. Well, before we go into game two, we should give Cutter Crawford a shout out. Great again. Six innings, six Ks, just two walks, two earned runs, ERA at 1.75. Like, I don't know what we could say differently about him that we haven't already said. Like, incredible start. Keeps proving everybody who's doubting him wrong. I mean, including myself. I like him. I think he's a good pitcher, but this pace is crazy. Yet he keeps doing it. So keep it going, Cutter. What can you say?
Yeah. And right in front of his mentor, Chris Sale too. They're really tight. Both Florida dudes that went to, Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CU.
Ooh, trivia question for you. Which Red Sox player from last year's team also went to Florida Gulf Coast?
Oh,
he was there at the same time as Chris Sale and he hazed Chris Sale.
Yeah. Wasn't it another pitcher?
It was.
Tell me.
Richard Blyer.
Yeah, that's right. I knew it was somebody who wasn't there for long, but yeah, that's Richard Blyer hazing Chris Sale. Bizarre.
No, but to compliment Cutter a little bit more, the fact that we were like about to go to game two without even bringing it up just kind of shows like how good he's been and that you just expect him to go six innings. just he has so much confidence in his stuff. He's just able to attack guys. Like, with Cutter especially, he was a guy who had trouble going deeper into games. And well, specifically last year, because last year it felt like he was breaking out, but he just couldn't go deep in the games. But this year, I mean, they trust him to get up into those 90s for pitch count. He is going six, and he went seven in his last start. I mean, we just have expectations for this guy now, and he's, even with those expectations, living up to them. You see a lot of guys like have a few of those starts, and the second you want to put some expectations on them, that's when they take the step back. Not Cutter.
Gordo, I don't have the number or the inning in front of me or the pitch count, but I do have in my notes another situation where Cora kind of let him go in a should he stay in, should he take him out kind of situation. So I'm loving that. I like that. The manager showing trust. But yeah, I should next time we'll have the inning and the pitch count. But I just like Cora showing trust. And yeah, like you said, another great start from Cutter. On the not so great side, Justin Slayton, bad outing. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's earned the right to get those spots, and it didn't happen this time. I still fully trust him. It sucks because, like, obviously you want to see him succeed in those spots, but he said it after the game. He had the right mindset. There's going to be up and down, ups and downs. He's a rookie. Like, we don't think of him as a rookie, but that's what he is.
Yeah, it's important not to lose sight of that because there's going to be rookie moments. I don't know if this is a rookie moment. I think he just had a bad outing against a really good team, but another guy, he's at 1.8 ERA. He's fine. Still very impressed with him. Anything else on that super painful first game?
My notes in for game one were literally all of those notes about the guys left on base. Cutter was good, and Slayton, ugh.
Great minds. Yeah, that was not like most painful loss of the season, but that one was, ugh. That was a slog of a game. So many.
Well, that's the thing, dude. It's and you see it with game two, because game two was not a winnable game, but game one was. And it's just so frustrating watching them drop a winnable game, because like a split with the Braves had to be the goal. The Braves are obviously a better team. They're probably, and yeah, I still think of them as the best team in baseball. I think they are the best team in baseball. So when you go in for a two-game series, that's got to be the goal. Get one and get out.
But they're not thinking like that. You can't think like that if you're a team. It's win
today.
No.
Win today. I'm saying like approaching
the
series.
Yeah. Like as an observer, you're like, I'd be happy with. Yeah, me too. I would have been fine. I think everyone other than Joe predicted we would see a split. But
yeah,
you know.
But that's the thing, is like they've lost 5 out of 6 games, right? And in those 5 games that they've lost, they've scored 2 runs or less. And 4 of those 5, not counting the second game in the Braves series. But the other 4 of those 5 losses were all winnable games. If you just come through with your guys on base, score more than 2 runs. I know the offense is depleted, and this wasn't going to be that potent of an offense to begin with. But you got to produce a little bit more. You have historically good starting pitching and pitching as a whole. And this team is one game above 500. And they had that really bad stretch of defense, but it's almost entirely been because the offense is just so prone to the nothing game.
Yeah. And you're missing so much. You're missing Trevor Story, who all offseason long we were saying, how many home runs? Like 20, and then another maybe 30 stolen bases. And then you get the defense, of course. And then you're missing Casas, who's a guy we talked about maybe hitting 40 home runs. You're missing both those guys pretty much for the entire year. It's a lot to make up for, and a lot of pressure on guys like Willy Abreu, Vaughn Grissom can go down the line. Connor Wong, who, holy shit, another just keeps producing.
Look, and he hit second. That's another one. It's like he hits second and you put some expectations on him. Like anyone else, they move up to the second spot. It's like, oh shit. And Connor then they go 0-4.
Yeah, not Wong. Connor. But anyway, we're not here to talk positively about performances.
We would never.
We're angry.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's all I got for the first game. You want me to just start throwing shit at you for game two? Because it's ugly.
Give me what you got for game two. I had so much fun watching it.
All right. So this one isn't as bad in the way of Red Sox not doing stuff. It's more so Red Sox getting dominated. But we'll start with the Red Sox not doing stuff. Another 9 men left on base. Abreu, 3 Ks. Duran, 3 Ks. Red Sox in total, 13 strikeouts. Just brutal. Chris Sale absolutely massacred the lineup. 20 swings and misses. 37 sliders he threw. He got 18 swings. 13 of them were whiffs. Only 4 balls in play. And then overall, this last one is from our guy Red Sox stats. Sox put 13 balls in play. Gord, you want to guess how many were hard hit?
Don't tell me it was none.
It was two.
Two?
Two hard hit balls.
Oh, okay. One of them had to be the robbed home run.
No, I think that was like 1 mile per hour below the hard hit, or like half a mile per hour. It was extremely close. Here, I'll tell you. It was. It was actually Garrett Cooper, but it was his single.
Oh, yeah. He had a nice single today.
And then Devers massacred that ball, but it was like on a line. Also a single. Cooper's fly ball was. No, it was just under. Oh, sorry. No, he had a hard hit ball, but it was not off of Chris Sale. These were only Sale numbers.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, on the subject of. While we're talking about Cooper, because I was literally thinking to myself when he got that hit, I was like, oh, finally. And I was looking at the numbers, and it's just, obviously, you're not going to replace Tristan Casas, but the hope is that you're going to get better production than what you were getting from Dalbec, because Bobby was, he was not hitting at all. But so far from your first baseman, Garrett Cooper, 613 OPS, Dom Smith, 488 OPS. Obviously, like, they're going to be better than that. Hopefully,
these are going to be better than Bob. I think we need to like talk about that. Like Cooper and Smith are not the same caliber. Smith is a guy who has not really been able to hang around in the majors very much at all. I don't know. I didn't love the move bringing him in. I don't hate it. It's better to have him than Dalbec for sure. But like, he's never really been a guy that anyone has been crazy about since he was a very young prospect, and he quickly kind of fizzled, and it's been a bunch of blah since then. And then Cooper's like an actual solid player, in my opinion. Nothing incredible, but like people keep talking about like Cooper and Smith, and I know it's because they're a platoon, but like I think one guy is quite a bit better than the other.
Well, that is why, though. It's because they're a platoon. Like you're combining those guys to replace Casas, and honestly at this point, shit, man, like they're kind of replacing Casas and Yoshida, especially while Ref Snyder's down. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, their stats are going to be connected because without Casas' injury, you don't have either of these guys on the roster.
Yeah, and this is the kind of the long way of me saying, like, I don't know how long Smith is going to be around for. Like, I think Cooper's going to be with the team at least until Casas gets back, maybe throughout the season. But Smith,
Well, we're going to learn, man, because it's this Yoshida injury, this hand thing. We are hearing, like, the weirdest fucking reports on this. Like,
rare.
They call it like a rare injury. Like what is going on here, man? Like they're going for second. He had a second opinion today that I don't believe we have the results of. No. I don't even think we have the results of the first opinion. And they might go for a third opinion.
Yeah. All the opinion. He's an opinion collector. I don't know. We can't really talk about it. We have no clue what's going on. But if he's out, then yeah, that completely.
It sounds bad. You don't go for three opinions if it's just like a 3 week thing. Like you just bite the bullet and eat the weeks.
You watch Curb?
Yeah, I love Curb.
You see when I think it was not the most recent season, like 2 seasons ago, where Larry has like a knee issue and he goes to the doctor.
Just watching that episode like literally last week.
He gets the second opinion, and the other doctor's like pissed off about it. Like, why would you get a second opinion? And they like,
all right, get your second opinion.
Yeah, that's Yoshida right now. There three opinions? Oh, you're the opinion guy. Great.
Yeah. Well, if Yoshida's out for a long time, Dom Smith is going to be here for a long time. That's
Get comfy.
Unless, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless someone else gets DFA'd and they can get a better replacement. But to be honest with you, that May 1 opt-out thing was kind of your best chance at getting solid players. They kind of did the best they could there. It was a fun time with Zach Short.
Yeah.
And I know you hate this, so I'm going to say it at you anyway. I saw your tweet.
I was about to congratulate you for not saying this.
Nope. To hold your congratulations. I've not said it yet, but I'm going to say it now. It was a short tenure, man.
That was when he got DFA'd. When he got DFA'd, swear to God, my first thought was, oh my God, everyone's going to make the same exact joke.
Damn, man. It was a short time. It was a short time, but a good time.
When someone sent me a tweet and said, like, it was like watching a short film. And that one, I kind of chuckled at.
Yeah, that's a little bit more creative.
A little bit more creative. Still not great, but.
He didn't get a hit, did he?
I think he got one. Yeah, he got a single up the middle.
Oh, good for Zach.
Pretty sure. Wait, or maybe it got caught. Now I don't know. Maybe he did. This dude.
I'm going to look it up.
If we're doing Play Tessie in 2035, then he's going to be the greatest, like, guys being dudes candidate of all time. Zach Short.
Yeah. 0 for 7, Zach Short.
0 for 7. Okay, so he did hit the ball up the middle, but it got caught. Because I remember thinking for a moment, hey, it's his first hit. But now that I think back, I think it got caught.
He was 0 for 7 with 4 strikeouts, no walks. He had a negative 100 OPS plus. So he was 100% worse than league average, which makes sense considering the stats.
Nice.
Played defense, filled in. Romy Gonzalez is back, like Zach Short era, like whatever. But yeah, I mean, these replacement guys, we wonder how long they're going to be here. But yeah, it's just going to be until the guys that you expected to be here come back. In some cases, they'll come back. In some cases, they won't. Story's not coming back. But yeah,
I think that Short was probably brought in case Pablo Reyes didn't make it through waivers because they're like the same player, pretty much same player profile. And then once Pablo cleared, it was kind of like, all right, we can get rid of this dude. But I honestly think Short is probably slightly better than Pablo, but I'd rather Pablo for the vibes and the song.
I agree with both of those takes. Short, Pablo doesn't hit and he doesn't really defend. Short doesn't hit, but he does defend. Yeah. But then you cannot
hit or defend.
He's not that fast.
The terrible base runner.
But he does bring the vibes, and even though Zach Short can defend, I mean, obviously it's an unfair test. He doesn't know anybody, but he doesn't. You can't bring the Pablo vibes. He's banging the bat against the bench. I don't know. Maybe Devers was onto something with that whole. We haven't hit since they changed up the roster. Pablo Reyes and Emmanuel Valdez were big with the dance circle. Both of those guys go. They don't hit at all.
If your team forgets how to hit because two guys hitting below 200 got sent down, then there's massive issues going on. Something is wrong.
Does it irk you a little bit to see? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but since they got sent down, Emmanuel Valdez and Bobby Dalbec have absolutely raked. Irk is the wrong word. For me, the way I take it is that it's just more and more evidence to not even for a second look at minor league stats on the surface, at least.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I would say for 4A players like that, yes, that's how I kind of look at it. But if it's a prospect coming up, you kind of got to dig into the stats. But like a AAA guy who's going up and down, especially Dalbec, I can't say this about Valdez because he has not that much experience. But Dalbec, we know who he is at this point. It's been 4 years of seeing him try to do his thing.
His thing.
So I think we know what we have with Dalbec. He's just better against AAA pitching. It's not as good as Major League pitching. It's not rocket science. And Valdez might be the same thing, but it's, you know.
Yeah, young. I agree with you. Valdez, he came up for the first time last year. And, like, I don't know. Maybe he never becomes anything, but Bobby Dalbec, he had a nice 2021 for parts of that year. And then in 22, 23, 20, like it's been years.
It's crazy.
Valdez, it's like he's a kid.
So actually, funny thing, Brent Rooker hit a home run today, his 9th of the season. Like he's
been piping hot.
Yeah, ice cold start and then just caught fire. Good ball player. And I remember over the winter, I mentioned him as a DH or like a left field / DH platoon kind of guy option. Just a fun option to think about because we were all just throwing names out there at the time. And so many of the comments were like, this guy's not even better than Dalbec. This guy's just as good as Dalbec. I'm like, how much credit does Dalbec get for a season that happened 3 years ago, and it was half of a season that he was good. And this guy Rooker just hit 30 bombs in Oakland. And they're like, yeah, this guy in the Red Sox who had half a good season 3 years ago is just as good. I'm like, look, Rooker might not be a great player or anything, but how could you say Dahlbeck's just as good? It's crazy to me. Million comments saying that. So now I'm never listen to any more Dahlbeck takes anymore. I just need to trust my gut. He's not good.
Oh, there was, I'm so mad I didn't. Did I? There was a take. Oh, I remember my take. And we have to talk about this a little bit because we briefly glossed over the Chris Sale thing. But we didn't talk enough about, I mean, he came in and shoved it down the Sox throats. 10 Ks. I believe that, I want to say Chris Cotillo tweeted that that was just his third 3-strikeout game since 19 or something like that. I don't know. He absolutely brought it against the Sox. And I tweeted something that at the very beginning of the game, and I basically said, I cannot believe that Chris Sale is pitching against the Red Sox. And I was thinking, I was like, did Lester ever pitch against the Red Sox? I looked it up. He didn't. Did Beckett ever pitch against the Red Sox? He didn't. And I tweeted that, and I got at least one comment. It might have been a couple where it was like, don't put Chris Sale in the same breath as Josh Beckett. Can we talk? I'm actually curious about your opinion on this one.
2017, Chris Sale, better than the best season for both those guys. Chris Sale's peak was insane.
Chris Sale's peak was Pedro.
It was literally the most entertaining pitcher, must-watch Red Sox pitcher since Pedro. 2017, Chris Sale. Unhittable. How many strikeouts did he have that year? More, it was K through nine.
It was over 300. I was in Baltimore, and he struck out. I remember John Farrell left him in the game way too long so he could try to get that one last strikeout to get 300.
Was it 300 on the dot?
No, it was more because he had a few starts after that, but it was like he wasn't the same after that.
You want the numbers? This is nuts. Okay, Chris Sale in 2017. First of all, sorry, I'm looking this wrong. Started 32 games. 2.9 ERA. That's already completely insane. Logged 200.
Also, that ERA was only that high because of his last few starts. Like, that ERA was like in the low to mid twos for that entire year.
Right, right. 308 strikeouts. Jesus, 12.9 Ks through nine. And he finished second in Cy Young voting. ERA plus of 157. So that's kind of like, if you're not familiar with that stat, it's like OPS plus. So this means that Chris Sale was 57% better than the average pitcher that year. And then, by the way, the following year, I got these two mixed up. 2018 was the one where he missed some time, but he had an even better K rate, 13.5 through nine. So
yeah, and a 2.11 ERA in 27 starts. Not too shabby. And in that first year, he led, like we all talk about Chris Sale because everyone remembers him getting hurt all the time, but he led the league in innings pitched that year. Like that was the guy that the Red Sox had. And the Chris Sale peak was way higher than Josh Beckett. I as a whole, for their whole Red Sox tenure, give me Chris Sale too. I don't know where you're at with that, but give me Chris Sale. There was, in my lifetime, there have only, like, I love John Lester. John Lester was amazing, but there have only been 2 days. There was Pedro Day and there was Sale Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about? I can't take Sale's tenure over either of those guys because his peak might have been higher, but there were far more negative, especially.
I'm not taking his tenure over Lester. I'm taking it over Beckett, though.
Beckett's tough because he had some bad times, too. People act like that didn't happen. Didn't he have 5 ERA?
He was an every other year guy.
And then he was part of the chicken and beer thing, 2006.
All right, let me read these ERAs by year. You ready for this?
You might have a case here, actually.
This is Josh Beckett's ERA by year, beginning in 06 and finishing in 2012. 5.01 in his first year, 3.27 in his second year. That was his best year. 4.03 in his third year, 3.86 in his fourth year, 5.78 in his fifth year, 2.89 in his sixth year, and then he was traded in the middle of this year, but with the Red Sox, he had a 5.23 ERA in the last year. So that is 3 ERAs over 5 with the Red Sox for Josh Beckett. It's not an anti-Josh Beckett thing. I'm just saying Chris Sale was fucking dominant. Like, people forget about that for some reason, but he was.
Also 2007 ALCS MVP.
Chris Sale closed out a World Series.
He did. He did. It's a good, it's a, you know, it's a fair debate. I think people will immediately pick Beckett.
They will.
And then they'll kind of like look back. We should do a poll.
Yes, I agree. And it'll be interesting. And obviously we can't fast forward through time. We'll do a poll. Everyone's going to pick Beckett. And then like 10 years from now, we'll talk about it. And I think the discussion will be very different, especially if Chris Sale ends his career on a high note.
All right. I'm doing the poll right now.
All right. While you get that going, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of other bats that I think we need to see a little bit more from, that we talk about this stretch of like 6-7 games or whatever the Sox haven't hit. Their outfield, Duran got hot, and as soon as Duran got hot, Willy Abreu and Tyler O'Neill went cold. I'll read off some numbers here. Willy Abreu, he's 2 for his last 19. He went on that insanely hot run and looked like just the completest of hitters. But he's 2 for his last 19. And then on the year against lefties, I mean, you can see it. He's really uncomfortable against lefties. He's 3 for 18 on the year with a 472 OPS against lefties. I know he's playing against them right now out of necessity. Rob Refsnyder, obviously, if healthy, is going to get the start against the lefty in Sale. But yeah, we need to see better from him. And then Tyler O'Neill, 6 for his last 33, 553 OPS in his last 9 games. He was on an absolute tear to begin the year. I think he and Abreu both are capable of getting back to that, but over the last 5 to 10 games for both of them, not what you want to see there. And that has certainly contributed to the offense puttering, I'll say. Puttering.
You know what I love is, I love the appreciation that Red Sox fans have for Rob Refsnyder. Something about it's cool because he's not a superstar, but he's just a consistent ball player. People like that. Gritty guy.
Yeah, and it helps. He steps up to the plate like 2 years ago. What was his OPS 2 years ago? Was like almost 1,000 or something. It's like you see that stat. It's just like, yeah, give me that lefty crusher. Give me the lefty killer.
Lefty crusher. 2022. 881.
Oh, 881. Okay, so almost 900, not almost 1,000.
He got cold at the end of that year, I remember, but it was in the 900s for a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a period of time. I want to say he didn't have a good second half last year, but in the first half, like there was a period of time where like minimum X amount of at bats, he was like in the top 10 in baseball and OPS and like may have been leading or something and on base. It was, he was wilding for a little bit there. But
if he's a late bloomer and he's like an everyday guy and he's actually really good and they're just using him as a platoon and we'll never know.
Yeah, he was a prospect, man. Hey, he was hitting righties this year too. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's been getting those opportunities. He's been taking them.
He's 33 though. Never mind. I don't know why.
Who's the late prospect bloomer is fucking Judge. Jerks and Profar.
Oh, they're going to say Aaron Judge.
No, different kind. I see where you're going there. But yeah, Profar this year out of absolute nowhere, he's totally killing it.
He had the yips, so I like him. 180 OPS plus, Jesus H, fuck, that's good.
He has played 39 games and he is hitting 338, 958 OPS, 180 OPS plus. He's crazy.
Is he still a terrible defender? Because I remember he was like a disaster at short and second, and oh yeah, he's really bad.
He's playing only left field now. There's no way he's any good in the field.
He's not. He's 16th percentile. Without digging deep into the numbers, doesn't look great. But yeah, I don't think that's Rob Refsnyder, but you never know.
No, you never know. That would be great. That'd be a crazy breakout.
Jerickson's 31. He's not that much younger than Rob. Just 2 years.
Wow.
Is Rob Refsnyder the next Jerickson Profar? That's like a 3 a.m. baseball take.
That's the discussion. Is Rob Refsnyder the next Jerickson Profar? No, man. Jerickson Profar is the next Rob Refsnyder. Let's be real.
That's, dude. Yeah, of course. A lot of baseball experts have been saying that.
You got anything else left on this series before we preview the next series?
I'm just glad that they get to play the Braves again. There's no better rivalry than Red Sox Brave. It's a natural rivalry, according to Major League Baseball. I don't know what the hell that means, but we couldn't live without it. And I'm excited just to see them get revenge at Fenway, just like last year, right? Didn't they beat them twice at Fenway last year?
Yeah, that was the peak of the season. I always talk about this. They beat Strider. So they won those two games, and then they went to San Francisco and Casas unleashed. They won that first game, and then the season was over. They lost the next two. They lost two out of three to Seattle. Justin Turner got hurt. Then they came home, got swept by the Blue Jays, and in the Seattle series, the deadline happened where they did nothing, killed the season.
Did nothing, bro. They got Urias, and then the Mariners were so impressed that they were like, wow, we got to sign this guy or trade for him. We'll trade Campbell's chicken noodle belly button soup for him.
Chicken noodle belly button soup.
So actually, you can really make an argument that the Red Sox picked up Isaiah Campbell at the deadline last year.
They sure did, man. We got to check on whoever that fucking prospect they sent for Urias was. I remember Sox right. Prospects was like, oh yeah, this guy actually could be solid. I don't know. I haven't heard about him. Doesn't mean he's not doing well. In fact, it probably means he is doing well. I don't know. Yeah, man. Did you know that the Braves used to play in Boston?
So interesting.
Did you know?
Yeah, I knew.
I've never heard that one before. So that's the natural rival. God damn it, man.
Do you know what the youth is yearning for? The youth is yearning for the natural rivalry, Gordon. They want the natural rivalry. They want the Boston Braves. Those fans get so heated when they see each other, Red Sox fans and Braves fans, when they think about the early 1900s. Heated rivalry. Can't let it die.
God damn, man. What a shitty sports night. This night sucks. This sucks. Yeah.
Well,
thank God we have the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah. Tonight, if you listen. The Red Sox are going to have a very rested bullpen on Friday. Off day.
Yep.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Shall we jump into this series against the big, bad, actually not as bad as you thought they were going to be, Washington Nationals?
I'm going to fall asleep thinking about the stupid ass Nationals. No, yeah, let's preview. They're actually kind of like weirdly exciting with the young guys they have. And Joey Gallo's always a hoot to watch. So let's do it.
So he was on a rehab. He was in the minors, or so I assumed, for rehab. I saw him hit. He faced the guy that the Yankees, I believe, traded for him.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe he'll be in this series, but he hasn't been playing for them lately. But we'll get into this. They have CJ
for a while. Exciting. He's been up this year though. I've seen.
He has been up. Yeah, he's played.
Huh.
I don't think he's got like a guy with options or anything. So I just assumed it was a rehab.
Oh, look at this. He's hitting 122 with a 76 OPS plus. That's tremendously bad. He's also struck out 15 times already in those 74 at-bats. Really bad. And he has a 0.2 war. How is he a positive player, Gordo? Is his corner outfield defense really that good? Or is it?
Has he been walking?
Let me see if he's been
walking. He at least used to walk a bunch. That was his thing.
Well, his OBP is 286, so I don't think he's walking. Well, let's take a look. How many walks?
286 over 120? That seems 15. Like a reasonable walk, right?
15, yeah. Okay, so he has a few walks. That's good. He walks a little bit here and there.
Is this group chat right now, Sammy? Is this group chat having that Josh Beckett discussion right now, this group chat that we're in? I just saw a message come up that said Josh Beckett. Are they having – oh, you put the poll in. That's why. I was like, what? Okay. Okay. Off day on Thursday, the 518-18 Washington Nationals, who are coming off a split with the Baltimore Orioles, are coming to town. Game one, Tanner Houck versus Patrick Corbin, a once big time free agent signing, now vying for multiple years of potentially one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. Tanner Houck has a 1.99 ERA coming off six innings of four-run ball. Three of those runs were earned. Five strikeouts against Minnesota. He looked a lot better than the numbers say, but they definitely pushed him at the end of that game to try to save the bullpen. Did not work. Uwasawa came in, let in a few of those runs. Patrick Corbin, he has a 6.45 ERA this year. He has not been good for years. He helped them win that World Series. Has not been good for years, but he is coming off six innings of three-run ball with three strikeouts against the Toronto Blue Jays. Game two, Red Sox budding ace Cooper Criswell versus Jake Irvin, who I'm not going to lie, just learned who he was today. Cooper Criswell, 1.72 ERA, coming off four and a third innings of one-run ball with five strikeouts against Minnesota. really impressed with his last three, at least, outings. He threw five scoreless in each of the previous two. Jake Irvin, even though I didn't know who he was, he's got a 3.72 coming off five innings of four-run ball, though none of those runs were earned. He had four strikeouts in that outing. It was against Toronto as well. Game three, the return of Brian Baio. I wrote down his ERA, but actually, I don't know if that's accurate because I think I was just guessing. If I guessed right, give me credit. I guess 3.04.
It's 3.04. I was going to say, I think it's 3.04 because he had a really good outing and it brought it down.
I read it. Okay, it is 3.04. God. This is the shit my
head. We have the most useless brains that we both knew that off the top of our heads, like with such a useless skill, but we both have it.
Dude, I was like going suit shopping today and the guy listed off these brands of suits. Like I was going to try to remember them so I could look them up online later. And he listed them off. I was like, okay. And then like 2 seconds later, they all slipped my mind. Like I remembered none of them. I had to like walk back to him with like my tail between my legs and be like, hey man, can you give me those names? Cause like, I can't retain any information besides useless shit like Brian Baio's ERA, but it's Brian Baio versus Mackenzie Gore. One of the centerpieces of the Juan Soto trade. Baio's got a 3.04 ERA, but this will be his first start since an injury shut him down for just about close to the minimum. In his rehab start, 2 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 of which were earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He threw 55 pitches, 32 of which were strikes. So Brian Baio coming back, I don't think he's going to be on like that full Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, push him to the limit. But we'll see how far he can make it in this game. He's going against Mackenzie Gore, who is having a nice season. He's got a 3.44 ERA, but he is coming off a three-inning, six-run outing, although only two of those 6 runs were earned. He had 4 strikeouts in that outing against Toronto. One pattern here is that the Nationals have allowed a bunch of unearned runs. Kind of reminds me of last year's Red Sox slash an earlier version of this year's Red Sox. So maybe we'll get some Nationals errors, get to see some Sox runs that maybe they don't deserve. Nice to be on the other end of that. Hitters to watch. I wrote down these numbers, but their game was still going, so I'm going to pull up their OPSs. But CJ Abrams, he is one of the most exciting players in baseball right now. He was a co-centerpiece of that one. I mean, that Juan Soto trade, man. They got Abrams. They got Mackenzie Gore. They got James Wood. Like, they cleaned up, and the Padres got nothing even remotely close for that back. But CJ Abrams this year, he's got an 875 OPS. He's quickly becoming one of the better players in baseball. They've got this dude, Luis Garcia, who, not going to lie, I didn't know who he was either. I know this is National League shit, but like I usually know like every player, so I'm surprised that there are these guys that are like producing that I just didn't know. Garcia's got an 865 OPS. He's hitting 321. He went 4-for-4 with a bomb on Sunday. Like, beware of Luis Garcia. Jesse Winker enjoying somewhat of a bounce back season. The numbers looked a little bit, but he had an over 800 OPS when I was writing these things down earlier, but it's down to 782. And then Nick Senzel as well, former top prospect. His OPS was at 800 to start the day. He's down to 761 after the day. But those guys are both enjoying like semi-bounce back seasons. Or maybe Senzel, I guess he's not really bouncing back to anything because he never really broke out. But reasonable player, solid contracts the Nationals gave out. Always good to give out those one-year deals, try to get these guys on track and then maybe trade them at the deadline. But yeah, Sammy, with all that information I just tossed over to you, let's predict the series. We don't have anything from Pat today. So Pat might just, maybe we've got a day off. We can get Pat's predictions. We'll let him in. We'll
retroactively add him. Yeah. Okay.
So what do you got for prediction?
Okay.
Sox have lost 5 out of 6. And they're two of the three starters in this series that they're facing are lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Nationals are 500. You think going into this series that it's an easy one, but when you look at it, it's not as easy as it seems.
Okay. I think they win the first game. Corbin, I know he's a lefty, but he's been awful. He hasn't been good for years, like you said. And he's going to be at Fenway. And it's just not a good recipe for him. So I think the Red Sox win that game. Game two, I like the Red Sox as well. Criswell versus, escaping my...
Jake Irvin.
Right, Irvin. Yeah, we know all about Jake Irvin.
Everyone's favorite player, Jake.
Red Sox in game two.
Jakers.
Game three, a few things going against you. Gore, lefty. Nice acumen, too. You never know what you're going to get. I believe he pieced up the Red Sox last year, the year before when they saw him. I hate that he wears number one as a pitcher. Looks awful. It's the dumbest number choice I've ever seen.
I don't like single-digit numbers on pitchers either. I agree with you there, Sammy. It looks wrong. It's very rarely
does it work. Like, I think Stroman and Ottavino can pull off the zero because it's weird, but like Manoa.
Zero, all bets are off with zero. It's weird no matter what. Like, it's like 99 is weird. Like, who cares?
It's its own thing. But yeah, like who's a single? Like, Manoa, I don't like that. I think Snell with four looks bizarre.
You are wild with these numbers. This is crazy. You can just rattle these off.
Single digit.
I mean, we talk about this a lot. You are the numbers guy. But this is another useless shit in our heads, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm forgetting. There's other guys that I'm forgetting, but I'm just not a fan of single-digit pitching numbers. Anyway, so on top of him being a solid lefty with a single-digit number jersey, the Red Sox also have Brian Baio pitching one during the day, two.
I was wondering if you're going to say that.
Two, first start back off the IL after his rehab assignment. I'll say the Red Sox win two out of three. Win loss. They're gonna lose the game that we're at because we have just the disgusting aura about us and they're gonna get infected by it.
Sammy, I'm joining you there, man. I have it as win loss. I'm not ready to retire the Bayo Day thing but he has been better this year during the day than at night. But it's small enough sample size that I still think it's noteworthy. It is wild that seemingly every time Bayo's in these previews, we have the same conversation. Oh, it's during the day. This guy doesn't pitch at night. It's crazy. He never does. It's always during the day. He's always in the finales. He's always during the day. But to his credit, he's actually been pretty good. I am still picking that to be the loss, though, because Mackenzie Gore is really good. And I do not think Brian Bayo is going to make it beyond the fifth. I think that would be our best case scenario is for him to make it five. I think it's more likely that we see him go like four. But I like the first game. Patrick Corbin. He actually was good against the Red Sox last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he did pitch well against the Red Sox last year. But I believe that they will get to him because, as we have both said, he sucks.
Yes, which is, it's strange. You know, I think he didn't start playing baseball until really late in life, too. He's one of those guys who kind of picked it up late, was amazing, and then just... That whole Nationals team is so weird. That 2019 team, like they hit the top of the mountain and then just exploded into an incredible work of flames and sadness.
That's why you got to get it done when you can, because you never know when these windows close and they're shut real fast.
I think pretty much no matter what move you make, if you win the World Series, it's worth it. Like flags fly forever. That's just. Like, I know everyone hates the Strasburg extension because it came after, but it was like, dude, what are you going to do? Not extend that guy because of the injury concerns? It's like, that would be the worst. That would be so Red Sox to do that. And then the fans would be pissed. And like, instead of having it go down how it did with the Nationals, which everyone listening is probably like, well, wouldn't you be happy? It's like, at least they'll be able to look back more fondly like, oh, he couldn't make it, but we stuck with him to the end. And the Nats love him. He's a National forever. I don't know.
It's reasons like that why I will never, and it's even more crazy to question a contract when the guy was under the contract when he won the World Series and played a pivotal role. I will never say a bad word about the David Price contract. That dude was critical to that championship. I hate when people shit on David Price. I hate that.
No, he was so like people didn't like his attitude, but he was good here. He was good in Boston every year.
Old play, man.
I don't think he had a bad year in Boston. So,
no, that last year, 19, like was just like pretty mid, and like you could see it. The carpet was about to be pulled. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that's why they were so insistent on getting off of that contract when they did. Obviously, we don't agree with how they went about it, but
you know why he kind of fell off? Because not a single digit number, but I put it in the same category. He switched to number 10. Not a good pitching number. That's an infielder or a fast outfielder number.
You must be big on like the, or actually no, because they changed it. Were you pissed off when the NFL changed it so that people can wear any number and it's not by position groups.
Myself and Tom Brady, we were both pissed.
Yeah, Brady hated it. You're right. Brady hated
that. I kind of have come around to like it, but at the time I was not a fan at all. It's cool now though. Just like, I feel like for fans, the single digit numbers are cooler, or low numbers at least. More, it's also more unique for the players. They can choose numbers that mean something to them now. But like, I think like linemen have to be 75 or like high 90s, something like that. Very particular with.
I agree. I didn't like the switch. I didn't like the change for the NFL either. It's so weird. I don't like these receivers wearing weird numbers. All right, but score update on the series predictions. 6 for Sammy, 4 for Pat, 1 for me, and Braverman jumped in last week, predicted the Red Sox would get swept. I don't know if I want to give him a point for being a negative Nelly and being right, but we'll leave it tentatively on the board. We'll see. We'll see. The board may overturn that one. But it's time for Crystal Bomb. Pat is not here, but it's time for Crystal Bomb. Bomb it. Nobody got a point last week. That is the second straight. Actually, no, Braverman got one the week before. Yeah, it's my second straight, or maybe it's my third straight miss. I've been missing a bunch. So I know where I'm going this week. I'm going to make sure I don't miss. But I'm going to let you go first, Sammy. Crystal Bomb, who you taking?
Crystal Bomb, easy. Connor Wong. Two lefties. He's going to get 2 out of those 3 starts at least. Tank City, dude. I'm super confident in this one. I've been on a roll in picking these incorrectly. So that's where that stops.
Connor Wong. All season long, man.
My guy.
Just take me in the series.
Some reason I've always been a big Wong guy. So now I'm putting it to the test. That's my pick.
I had Wong this time around, and I felt pretty good about it because I thought he was going to take Chris Sale deep. He ended up having a good game, but he did not play in the first game. So I had one, or he didn't, at least he didn't start. I don't know if he got in. I don't think he got in, but he didn't start that game, and he had a good second game, but you get one chance. So I'm sorry I wasted you as my pick, Connor, but Sammy will bring you good luck. This series, I could see Connor Wong taking one of those guys deep. Me, I'm going Tyler O'Neill, good old reliable. I have not gotten a point in too long, and it's because I'm dicking around picking guys like Dominic Smith. Like, no, I'm going back to Tyler O'Neill. I talked about how cold he's been. He's going to get out of that. He's going to take Patrick Corbin deep in his first at bat. That is what's happening. Give me Tyler O'Neill.
Okay. And pick for Pat. Pat's going to pick Romy Gonzalez. Actually, he's going to take Reese. There you go, Pat.
Pat has selected Reese before, so we know there's precedent for it. So Pat selects Reese McGuire.
Fuck you, Pat. All right.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served. And let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost, all backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Shall we move on to the no losers, just winners, guys being dudes?
Yeah, I could use some guys being dudes. The Sox have been doing a little too much losing lately, so let's win a little bit.
Well, let's pull our dudes out and talk about players who were on the Red Sox or the Washington Nationals / Montreal Expos. Expos count because it's recent enough.
I'll give you that.
Gordo, kick it off.
I'm going to go with, and I'm going to say this because it pisses you off, Red Sox legend, Adam LaRoche.
Nice. Now that's a guys being dudes.
He played 6 games for the Red Sox. He had 4 good years with the Nationals. Here's my trivia for you, Sammy. Can you name either who the Red Sox traded for him or who the Red Sox got for him? I give you a 65% chance at getting the guy that they got for him, but I give you almost no chance of getting one of the two guys that they traded for him.
Oh, man. Who did they trade him to?
The Braves. Or maybe it was the Angels? No, it must have been the Braves.
Just tell me. Tell me the answers, because I'm going to be thinking for too long and it's bad podcasting.
All right, you ready? The Red Sox traded some guy named Argenis Diaz and current reliever Hunter Strickland.
The guy who fought Bryce Harper. A lot of Red Sox relievers go on to fight Bryce Harper.
It's a thing. It's a pattern.
Who was the first guy? His name's Hugh Janus? No.
Oh.
Come on, Gordo, read the guy's name.
It's like Argenis.
Large. Oh. They said large anus. How would his parents notice that and then name him after that immediately? All right. So Largenis Diaz and
Hunter Strickland. And then a week later, they turned around and traded him for Casey Kochman. They just decided we'd rather have this first baseman. So
he was a trivia question way early on in Blake Tessie. We're both, oh, man. Argenis.
Yeah. Adam LaRoche, do you remember when he went to the White Sox and they told him that his kid couldn't be in the clubhouse and so he retired?
Yeah, and wasn't Chris Sale kind of like get your kid out of the clubhouse kind of thing? Or was he not involved? I know Chris Sale had an issue with him.
Chris Sale cut up the jerseys. I don't know. Yeah, Kenny Williams? Ken Williams?
Yeah, the manager or the general manager?
Yeah, I know he had a problem with that. I don't know if there were players. There might have been players. There must have been.
Maybe I'm wrong. Kenny Williams' son played for the San Francisco 49ers. He was the guy who fumbled that ball in 2011 and then the Giants won and then beat the Patriots and we were sad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fuck Kenny Williams.
Yeah, fucking asshole. How dare you give birth to an athletic
If that guy didn't reproduce, the Pats might have another Super Bowl.
Wait, I just said give birth. Create. Never mind. Anyway. All right. My pick.
Who you got?
So this is kind of a throwback. I might be dating myself with this, even though I'm not that old. You remember Tomo Oka?
I remember his face, and I know the name. He was an MVP baseball 05.
Actually a pretty significant Red Sox player. He's the first player from Japan to ever play for the Red Sox. 1999 is when he debuted. And then, here you go. They traded him, Tomo Oka, in 2001. For a closer, can you name the closer that the Red Sox traded for in 2001 in exchange for Tomokazu Oka.
Was he the only guy they traded?
I believe it was a one for one, yeah.
Damn, I was going to guess Byung-Hyun Kim, but can't be that.
O'Shea Hillenbrand, dude. Yeah. Remember where it scarred me as a child?
Well, that's why I asked if it was one for one, and because I knew Shea was in that deal. I don't know if I'm going to get this. This might be before my time, you old bag. Who you got? Who is it?
Ugleth Urbina.
Oh, God. Ugleth.
Yeah.
He went to... Did he try to kill someone? He tried to kill someone.
He did something a little wacky. But anyway, Tomooka, back to him. Oogie. His stats with the Red Sox, pitched 33 games, so not that many. Started 25 of them. 4.61 ERA. Not the worst. 134 innings. Only 85 strikeouts. I remember when he came over from Japan, he was touted for having like the greatest control ever. And he did have really good control. And it was just really interesting. We hadn't seen guys come over from Japan very much at the time. I think there were like three or four guys ever who had come over at the time. It was a really small number. And then in like the floodgates opened, a lot more guys, Sasaki and the Mariners, and then Ichiro, and then it was Hideo Nomo, and Japan, good ball players. But yeah, Tomooka, I love an opportunity to talk about him.
You have a fat face.
Let me see.
I think he had a fat face. I could be wrong.
No, don't think he has a fat face. I think he's a good looking dude.
Good looking Tomo.
Yeah, Tomo's a good looking guy. I don't know if it's Tomokazu or Tomokazu, but he went by Tomo. Tomo.
Tomo.
Oh, Tomo. That's a surfer name.
That's us being dudes, man. Yeah.
No, he doesn't have a fat face. He was number 53. I had to check. Couldn't remember his number. Not that good.
That would have been a wild one.
Yeah, but I think he's most remembered for playing for the Expos more so than the Red Sox.
It's where I picture when in my head when I'm picturing him in the blue hat.
Which means he must have been on the team in 2004 because you said MVP baseball 2005. Yes, he was. Yeah. He was actually very good. His career, listen to his career. This is respectable. 4.26 ERA, pitched 1,070 innings. That's a lot of innings.
Sure.
And then, yeah, ERA plus 105.
There you go.
Solid. He's a good baseball player.
Yeah, solid for a long time. Come on. Can't complain. Can't complain.
Would you rather Tomooka or Larginus Diaz? One for one. Would you swap?
That's a tough one. Do I take production or do I take the large anus?
All right.
Enough said, man. You got anything else before enough said? Or you want to jump into some enough said? I have so many enough said things I could pick from today, but I'm going to stick to one.
I just got one. I won't share names, but I went and got a haircut today. And the barber used to cut John Schreiber's hair. And I was like, dude, that's crazy. I'll give you a shout out on our show. That's sick. And he was like, yeah, I didn't know who he was at first, but super down to earth guy. And I was bummed when he got traded because I never got to make it out to a game. And all his notes on John Schreiber being cool, down to earth guy, I was like, yeah, that's how we saw him on Playtessie. Nice guy. We were upset when he got traded. Yeah, I just thought it was crazy that he was like, yeah, I used to cut John Schreiber's hair. Friend of the program.
That's random as hell, but yeah, viva John Schreiber. Was this guy Turkish or no?
No, I told the guy. I was like, what's so funny? He used to cut his hair. We somehow got onto the topic of Turkish hair implants with John Schreiber. He was like, what are those? I'm like,
what are those?
I had no fucking clue, but John Schreiber, him, the fan of sturdy Amish furniture, he knows. So,
wow.
Yeah, shout out.
That's a good enough said. Shout out. And Sammy, you're looking good with your fresh cut. It might take you a year to grow your hair back as long as it was, though.
Oh, it'll be... No.
Turn around. Let me see the back of your head. Yeah, that's going to take you forever.
It's faded. No, I do this every year. I get it cut like in right before it gets hot, and then I grow it out, and then by the end of winter-ish... Actually, first quarter of the year, it's gross and long.
All right, Sammy, my enough said. I saw a stat today, and I hope he didn't pitch. It doesn't matter if he pitched because Baseball Reference won't be updated. Can you explain this one to me? Mason Miller's FIP is negative 0.07. How is that?
FIP, fielding independent pitching. Maybe he just has the craziest. I don't know. Has he allowed anything this year?
His ERA.
He has a 0.7 whip. ERA is 1.26, so he has given up something. Shit, man. I don't know. He's got an 18 K through nine. I assume that has something to do with it.
But how does it get negative? Because the way I look at FIP, and I know that's not like exactly what it means, but I look at FIP as like, what should the ERA be?
Well, it's like, it's not what should the ERA be. It's like, what's the ERA if you like remove the, it's what it's in the name, fielding independent pitching.
Right. It's like if you
had an average defense, right?
But that can't be what it is, because then it would never go negative.
Yeah.
It's like, how the fuck is it in the negatives?
It's so funny. Everyone knows like FIP is ERA when you remove the factor of the fielder, but nobody knows how to like conceptualize that. Like, how do you explain that to somebody? Like, we know what it means, but we don't know how to explain it back.
It is a tough explanation. It's different than WAR, because like WAR,
you would have the formula in front of you. It's too complicated.
Fielding independent pitching, we know what it encapsulates. WAR, it's just like you're told this is everything, and you're just like, okay.
WAR is, if I were to explain WAR quickly to someone, I'm not a big fan of the stat. I just think like the concept of it, I can't wrap my head around all encompassing stat, but it's basically like, how many wins does this player get you? If you were to replace the average player at their position with this player, how many more wins would you get? Would the team get? So,
right. I mean, that's okay. So fair enough. I guess that conceptualization of it is palatable for anybody.
But FIP, we know it. We know what it tracks and why it matters. It's just like, how do you explain that back?
Yeah. So yeah, Mason Miller has a negative FIP, and I still need to figure out how the hell that's possible.
Right. So you know what it measures, but like, how does it get to that number?
Yes. Negatives. Like, if it were zero, I get it. But negatives, that's a little much. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Yeah. I got a question for you.
What do you got?
Pitching mound or pitcher's mound? What do you say? I was thinking about this for the first time ever today.
I say pitcher's mound.
Yeah, me too. Pitcher's mound.
I feel like pitching mound, I can't picture a big league mound when you say pitching mound.
I've definitely heard it.
Holy shit. Mike Monaco just showed up on my TV and it made me jump.
Pitcher's mound, pitching mound. I tweeted it out.
I imagined it being like a full dirt, like a baseball field that's all dirt, no grass.
Pitching mound?
Yeah.
Pitcher's mound is like more formal.
Pitcher's mound, it's a big league ballpark. It's a pitcher's mound.
I'm still trying to think about how you get a negative FIP. I cannot.
I'm gonna go on Twitter after this and try to actually figure it out. I saw it today and like I chose to not figure it out for the sake of discussion, but I think I probably could figure it out.
Man of the program. But yeah. Anyway, I'm ready to call it a night.
Yeah, let's call it a night, man. The two of us just fucking shooting the shit about our beautiful baseball team that is still above 500. So we got at least another couple of days of this with the off day. Hopefully they can take a couple of games from the Nationals and stay above 500. But until that point, this has been episode 71 of Play Tessie. Before you head off to somewhere else, before you, I don't know, flip on the Celtics game with the socks off, I don't know, hit that subscribe button. Whether you're on Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, hit that subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us what FIP means to you in the comments, please. On YouTube, we're on WEI's channel. Search up Play Tessie WEI. Find us there. You can take a look at Sammy's new haircut. You can also hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to WEI. It's great to watch these things. You can see Sammy's hair evolution as it grows. He's never cutting it again. He told me off air, 0 more cuts the rest of his life. So we'll see how that goes for him. But you can also leave comments and hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Also hit the, follow us on the socials at PlayTessie, both Twitter and Instagram. We continue to pour out tons of content there with players from the present and future of the Red Sox. Great stuff. Clips from this podcast. It's a great follow. So I highly recommend it. But until next time, for Sammy, it's Gordo here. We're talking Sox on PlayTessie. We're grinding, baby. 19-18. Let's get a few wins. I want to stay above 500. Keep the hope. But till next time, it's been PlayTessie. Toodaloo.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.